You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
You guys notice I always change the countdown. Like, I'm never, it's like a 3-2-1 go. Sometimes it's 1-2-3. Like, yeah. You know.
And then you get mad when we can't figure it out. Like, why didn't you go on go?
Dwayne, trying to edit the episode, it's probably like, dude, you guys are terrible at this.
And then we announce the show as the wrong title, which we've done at least every other show.
I did that last week. And this week, I'm not going to forget, though, to tell you that this
show. Restless Native.
This show is brought to you by gunbroker.com. They should adopt that. It should be, you know, I'll do like a country.
A deep male voice.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I would auto-tune it. I listened to that new Ernest album. Do you like Ernest?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good. That was me just checking.
The only Ernest I know is, what does he say?
You know what I mean, Vern?
You know what I mean, Vern?
Oh, no. That's the OG Kentuckian, too. Did you know that?
Yes.
I listened to the new Ernest album because somebody told me it's really good. And it would have been on parts of it if
Ernest
it wasn't.
Too?
He's like a country guy.
Is his name just Ernest?
Yeah.
He just goes by
all
Ernest.
Caps.
Huh. Country ain't country anymore.
No, it's so auto-tuned, man. I mean, it was like T-Painful level of auto-tune. Oh.
Had you ever heard T-Pain sing?
Yes.
He's amazing.
I'm like, why did you auto-tune? It was just a stylistic thing.
I think he just did it once and he made a lot of money. He's like, I guess
this
is just what I'm going to do now.
Just but like little John has to yell. Like, yeah. That's his thing.
This whole country, not the whole thing, because there's one song with Morgan Wallen on it that was absolutely dog crap. But anyways, you know, if Gunbroker could put my voice through some auto-tune and fix it, yeah, I think we got a really good jingle coming on. Anyways, before we go too far down that path and I start writing jingles on this podcast, check out gunbroker.com for all your firearm needs.
The show is uncensored. We still haven't addressed that.
Always as promised, too. It's always uncensored, always unfiltered. Usually don't start over when we screw up, so we just keep it rolling. Anyways, check out our partners at Gunbroker. Thanks for sponsoring this show. If you've still got time for turkey season, depending on where you are, ships to your local FFL. Super easy to do. Anybody can buy. Well, anybody of age can buy. And anybody can sell if you're of age. So check it out. Check out gunbroker.com. We had, I believe, a busy weekend of events. Dan went turkey hunting. Jacob's been out mushroom hunting semi-successfully, it looks like. And Erica's here for commentary.
Hole. Yeah.
And you went out fishing.
I went mushroom hunting.
You went fishing.
You what?
You went camping.
Oh, yeah.
Fishing.
I did stuff, too. So and I actually caught something. And I'll fill you in on what was working and what wasn't. So I want to hear about turkey hunting first, though.
So went to Taylorsville Lake, WMA.
This is opener weekend.
Opener weekend, which is where I went deer hunting in the fall and turkey hunting last spring.
I love the difference between you and Derek. Derek will be like, I went somewhere in the United States where the temperature... Where it was turkey season. Yeah. And you're like, I want to Taylorsville Lake.
I think
WMA.
If he was having extraordinary success.
If I had any success, I would be a little bit more secretive.
I think anyone that's heard Dan on this podcast knows Dan's not the one to listen to for locational advice.
Yeah,
no. Kentucky just changed the turkey law this season where you can only kill one bird per WMA.
For WMA.
Oh, really?
So if I kill one at Taylorsville, I can't go to Taylorsville for the rest of the season.
I didn't hear about that.
That's cool. I don't know if that's per year. I don't
that's
hurt
be
hunt
per year,
in
I'm
the
sure.
fall.
I mean, I haven't read the rules, but
can
it's
gotta
be.
Can you kill multiple birds
yeah, two.
In Kentucky?
Two.
Oh.
But not in the same
not in
day.
The
same
day. Same
24-hour period.
And now it's also not in the same WMA.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
But a lot of that, I mean, that turkey populations, I believe, are down in a lot of places across the country. I haven't read about Kentucky's numbers, but I know they did a survey maybe a couple years ago, they were doing surveys to see how many turkeys you had seen during any season.
The
remember that?
Survey.
Yeah, they were taking polls, so this could be a result of
that. So I went to the same field kind of at a corner of a feeder river and the lake proper, and Jacob and I and Chris hunted there last spring, and there was a ton of gobbles.
I saw turkeys the day we
Jacob
went to scout.
Jacob saw turkeys on scouting day. But we struck out. And then I went back there this fall to deer hunt, and they had leased it out to a farmer who had planted corn. And now the corn's been cut, and there's still a bunch of corn on the ground. I'm like, there's going to be a ton of bugs, a ton of little corn kernels that would be good for turkey. So I go out there. I get there pretty early. I did run into one other group of hunters who looked pretty serious. They got dropped off in, like, an F-550 or something, like the largest pickup truck I've ever seen. This pickup truck pulls up, like, brand new. These dudes get out, and the pickup truck, they're like, boop, 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 and the pickup truck goes away. And so I went up to them, and we were trying to coordinate where we were, and they were planning on hunting the thicket where we set up in the middle of the field. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the bottom of the field, so if you guys want to kind of do this half of the field, and I'll do this half of the field. And they were real cool, but they were wearing all high-end First Light gear and had all sorts of gear, and I had my
Just stop. You don't need that. You don't.
I'm tangled.
You don't need it. You don't need that slack. Just stop moving.
That are listening. Dan is in a swivel chair.
I've become entrapped.
He has swiveled his cord to his mic all around it. It's sad.
Yeah, but anyway, so I had my red light headlamp on, and we were walking down the path to the thing, and I was going to turn off on that little paved path that goes next to the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just joking, because they didn't have their headlamps on. I go, you guys forget your headlamps? And they just, like, very plainly just go, we don't use headlamps. And I'm like, I turn off, and I just see them walk off into the distance.
Yeah.
And it's 4:00 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning.
Is there any moon?
I mean, there was
phase we're at.
There was a little bit. I mean, you could probably see the horizon line. You know, you could see the top of the trees. But if there was a gopher hole, or I mean, you had no idea what you were stepping in. So they were pretty.
If they were crossing that field, they probably felt pretty confident they'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, they must have.
I just love that they were
seemed
like
legit.
No,
but
a headlamp, rookie.
No gobbles as the sun came up, which was very different than last year, which was weird.
Did you call?
I did not call.
Because of your headlamp.
I trusted them to call, and I didn't want to compete with them because I could tell that they could probably call better than me, and we'd both be calling them out of the same area, which is the deep woods. So
I know that field. Lay out for me where you were going to be again.
So I was going to be down at the bottom towards the creek on the side away from the river.
Okay.
So, like, before you hit the field, you just turn right and walk next to it, and then down at the bottom corner, which is down a hill.
Yeah.
So,
which is where you saw those jakes last year.
Yeah.
So
they were going to call them your way.
Yes.
To fast forward that story, there's no gobbles, no dead bird. Are you going back?
Are you cutting out all the story, the best part of the
story? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Is there?
No, I'm not going back.
Does it get better
than this? And here's why.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear Erica's story about how she got weeds in her garden. It'll be real riveting. So the sun was coming up, and in the cornfield, I see these little shapes scooting along the ground, and I can't make out what they are to see. It's super foggy, and I just see these black shapes, and there's like 7 or 8 of these black shapes. They almost look like RC cars. They're not walking. They're just scooting across the ground in the middle of the cornfield. I'm like, what is that? And, you know, 5 minutes later, there's enough light. I can get my, I'm using a scout scope or a
binocular,
thank you. And they're ducks. And I'm like, what?
Oh, the cornfield.
In the cornfield. And the cornfield's flooded. And I think the Salt River flooded a day or two before.
Dude, the Floyd's Fork was, I mean, 30-40 yards out of its normal banks. So I'm sure the salt was way up.
I didn't even think about that. So I think the river flooding, I would imagine, pushed out any turkeys that were roosting. I would imagine, you know, if they wake up and their whole area is flooded, they're going to relocate. I don't know either, but that's what I'm assuming because there are 0 gobbles. And I left at 10 a.m. And day 2 went to the other side of the lake, which is the more popular part for hunters. I knew I'd run into some hunters, and there were gobbles pre-morning. I was set up kind of at the end of this series of fields, And there was like a Y, and I had the right side Y, and I was posted at the junction so I could see any hunters go by. And if they tried to go down my way, I'd be like, hey, I'm here. And I saw one hunter go past me going the other direction. I don't think he knew I was there. This was before sun up. And, man, I was going to do the same thing where I'm like, I'm going to see if other people are better callers than me. And it was some of the worst turkey calling. Dude, there was literally someone doing a hoot owl call with his mouth. He was going like this. It wasn't like, oh, man.
I mean, you could. Some people can do that. Like Scott Ellis, I think, is one.
There's people that can.
But there's people that shouldn't.
Once the turkey started gobbling, you know, right at shooting light, this one dude was calling maybe every 2 minutes. Just crazy. And I'm like, oh, man, this is rough. So I'm in a good spot. I feel good about it. And then I maybe around like 10 a.m. I hear this noise, and I don't know what this noise is. It almost sounded like a coyote screaming.
Bobcat.
I don't know what it was. And it was like, ah, ah, like
fox.
That? And I'm like, what is that? And I've, you know, had my shotgun near me, but I'm like, I don't know what that was. And then maybe 2 minutes later, I hear it again, but it's much closer to me. I'm like, what is that noise? So I get my shotgun ready, and my
because you're gonna shoot whatever it is.
Well, I've got it on my leg. I'm like, is some? I kind of thought something saw my decoys and was maybe alerting on it or something. I don't know what it was, but it was coming from the way that the other hunter went. And I should also mention, I brought my Tom decoy.
No.
Okay, that was my question.
On the public. And I had, no. And it was
the
funny.
The most populated area possible.
That's why those first light guys were like, yeah, we got to get away from him.
Well, the other reason they got away from me was I had so many decoys. I had the Tom and two hens. I didn't have a bag big enough. I didn't bring my vest.
Jesus, so you're carrying a decoy through?
No, I just had a black trash bag.
Hey, Dan Johnson shot turkey off a trash bag.
Hello, fellow hunters. Yeah. And I'm like rustling with my black
trash bag. First light on, and you're walking up in there with a black trash bag.
That's funny.
This is the epitome of the show.
No.
Like, this is exactly.
They're on their professional podcast this morning recapping their hunt, and they're like, remember that idiot with the trash bag and the generic camo?
Yeah. So I'm, and it was funny. I set up in one spot. I set the toms out, and it's got one of those, it's got like a string, and you can pull the string, and the tail feathers will flop down. So I'm setting up in a way where even if someone tried to take a shot at this, I'd be way out of the way. And I've got deep woods behind me, and then the path is like... And once I saw that guy or heard that guy hoot owl calling, I'm like, these are some dumb people. I literally got up and moved further away because I'm like, I could see someone taking a 100-yard shot through the woods at my decoy. So I moved further away, and I was tucked way back. I'm like, there's zero chance that someone will... But so I heard that noise a little closer. So I just instinctively, and I was also kind of calling a little bit just so other hunters knew where I was. Like, this isn't going to fool a turkey, but this is just like, hey, I'm over here. So I did like a little call. And then, so I'm looking up the hill where the hunter was, and all of a sudden the hunter appears in the middle of the field, and he's got a gobbler tube. And he's just standing in the middle of the tube, the field, doing his tube, looking. And then he sees my decoys. He's probably 40 yards from my decoys. He's just standing in the middle of the field like this. Looking, I think, for me, and I'm like in the woods off to the side trying to like wave at him and get his attention, and he doesn't see me. He's just in the middle of the field, and he's got a headset on that I think has like earmuffs that have the walkie talkie, and he walkie talkies to someone, and I think he heard my little slate call and thought maybe it was another turkey and thought he could just walk through the middle of this field.
What in the world?
So he looks, he sees my decoys. He doesn't see me, and he just turns around, and he just swings the gobbler tube again in the middle of the field. I'm like, oh, man.
Do you think he thought
Dude,
those
your are decoy strategies right there.
Real?
I think he was just walking through the field, gobbling, hoping to get a shock gobble return, and heard a hen, and I don't know what his
As
strategy
was. As if any Tom in the world... Here's a turkey gobble and is not going to look at the
and
direction
it
came
bring
from
his gun
and
with
the
him?
Guy walking
I didn't
the
see
field.
His gun. I just saw his upper torso coming over the hill. I wish I took a video of it. It would have been a good video.
How far away from you was
maybe 60 yards? Maybe 60
yards. Yeah, I
mean,
you're 20 yards from your decoy. You said he's 40 past your
but
decoy.
He's my decoys are, like, in front of me, and he's over here. And I'm in the woods, and I can see him through the things. And I was fully, you know, leafy camoed out, so I was pretty well hidden. But
so you never saw the predator?
He was the predator. He was that
was
thing.
He the thing screaming?
Yeah, that was his shitty gobble. Attempt at calling.
You kidding?
No, that's literally what it was. Because he after he looked in my field and was just in standing in the middle, like he was going to get the drop on a turkey, just standing in the middle of the field. He literally turns in the middle of the field, starts swinging it again, and I'm like, oh, that was what that
was
noise
this a child?
Was.
Like a
no,
young,
it
young
was,
kid.
It was, and I should mention he when I saw him walk past my area. It was about 5 minutes before shooting light, and he was just getting like
this
trying
is
to find
all
his
kinds
spot.
Of dumb.
So I mean, it's public land hunting.
Well, and
that's why I
that's
can't
easier
do
access on that side of it too.
Yeah,
yeah, it's easier access, but this wasn't like some out of shape 60-year-old. I bet he was in his 30s. Looked like there's no reason to be that late.
He watched 3 YouTube videos, bought a gobbler.
But that's tube. What I wonder is like, is he new? Or has he just been doing that for 20 years? And
I don't know. I know people that have been hunting for 10 years and never killed one and call too much and do a lot of that stuff. I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, it might. The only thing I could think of was maybe this was his one day to get out, and it was a desperation move before he left. Because when I was getting ready to leave around 11 a.m., I gave just a couple of calls just to see if they would call back to see if they were still there. And they were gone. And I ran into another hunter on the walkout. And he was giving the same story that he hadn't seen any turkeys. He'd heard some gobbles this morning, but they had been over a couple different fields.
Heard a terrifying cry that sounded like
I don't
a
think
fox.
He heard that. I asked him. I go, hey, was your buddy over here hunting? And he's like, no, it's just me and another guy that's over here. So I think he was just – it was a desperation move. He's like, I have to be home by 11. It's 10 a.m. My expert hoot owl call did not get a response.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I didn't ruin that story for you. I thought you only went out one day. I didn't realize you went out both days this weekend.
No, I went out both days. And I might try going out after these storms roll through. I might try going out after work.
Dude, you should try evening hunting that spot. I bet nobody will be out there.
That's what I'm going to try to do once the cold front comes through. Because I just it was not as much activity as there was last year.
I will say that the past couple weeks, like every time that it's been raining, not like a downpour, but just like a little rain, even like maybe a little bit of hard rain, I have seen turkeys out.
Yeah, they get out. They get out to eat.
Oh, my dang.
Yeah. So
they can also see better since they can't hear as well with the rain. They'll get out.
All that rain, good for mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Late last week, I was here at the office. I was like, I think I'm going to swing by and look for some mushrooms. And Eric was like, you need to look for them, like, now. It's the time they're popping. Cause, was it Neighbor Man or you talked to people that
I've seen a lot of people. Well, when we were camping last weekend, we saw, like, a little one. But everyone kind of around the area that we know that hunts for them had been finding them. So. Yeah.
Well, and my sister-in-law had just found some a couple of days prior in her backyard. So I was like, I'll just swing by there real quick and see. It's right to the same spot where you were with me before and we found them. I go back in there and I see one that's broken over at the stem that's 3 inches long or so. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So they're here. And then it's almost like once you see one, they just start showing up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I found the biggest ones that I have found out there, you know. The biggest one I found is probably 8-9 inches, was 8-9 inches tall. It's big.
That's crazy.
All of them were good size. And I don't know if that's because where I found them back there before, I picked them too soon, and I should have given them a few more days to get bigger, to come up. But just like last year when I shook them around, just trying to spread, I had a mesh bag that I was carrying them around in, and kind of walked around the area as I was picking them up. So hopefully they'll keep proliferating back there. Took those home and we ate them that night. Sauteed them up.
You ate all of them?
Oh, dude. And it's funny because I was texting my brother-in-law, who's he's into gardening and foraging, and he's never had one. And I started to like, hey, swing by. We're going to have leftovers. Mm-mm. No.
Nope.
And he said he's in a Facebook group that was somebody was selling them for like $70 a pound.
Wow.
And I bet I had 2 pounds. Like there was a lot of mushroom, a lot of heft. But they cook way down.
I've never had them either.
They are yummy.
I haven't had them.
The ones last year had more flavor. They were mushroomery. Mushroom? More
mushroom.
Yeah, they just had more mushroom flavor.
Dude, you can buy them for like $10 on Amazon for seeds. You should just do that and then sit there and sell them for $70 a pound all day long.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
This is like we just ate
get you an old log, spread those spores right across, water hose it. Right.
See, yeah. Some people, they sell like on Amazon, you can buy the spores and spray them. But I don't know anyone that has had success.
Oh, really?
That's those. Like snake oil, I feel like.
No, I've seen, I mean.
You have.
I've seen on social of people that have like, I just started my own mushroom. And they just like show how they've drilled the holes and done a whole thing. I mean, I haven't seen with morels, but I've seen
with mushrooms. I've seen.
Like the shiitakes and some of that stuff, yeah.
I mean, I can't, why would morels be that much harder?
I don't know, man. It seems like a very sensitive
They're definitely
soil
more sensitive.
Makeup. What's around there?
Glenn
has talked about the temperature of the soil.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going out and testing it or what, but they seem to be very finicky because you can walk 10 feet away from where I just found some, and if that is around a corner on a hill, nothing.
Hmm.
They seem to be a little picky. Yeah, they're yummy. I love them. Ate them up. Picking them out of the pan. Mm.
Speaking of picky, went fishing.
Yeah.
You guys like my transitions today?
I don't understand it, but.
Well, the fish.
Picky fish.
Oh, they were picky.
Picky mushrooms. Okay. Picky fish.
I like that.
Because Jacob and I have been talking, and you've been out a few times, and I think you've had more success than I think Dan and I. You and I were talking about how we've been striking out. It's been frustrating spring season for fishing. And I went to this, I was camping with my son this weekend with scouts, and this is where last year, me and him did really well at this lake. This year we me and him got there late cause he had a soccer game and we went down, started fishing and he fished for like 20 minutes with me, but then all his friends were going back and he wanted to go build the dam on the creek and like, they were kind of playing around. I was like, all right, well, as I start going back with him, all my other kids that I was supposed to, we were going to do like the Cub Scout achievement and they were all going for a hike. And I'm like, well, I ain't sitting here for 30 minutes watching him play with his buddy. Cause the other dad was going to do that. So I went back and fished. So I caught one with him. He didn't catch anything. And then I caught 4 that night right after, like in the, like around 4 or 5 o'clock. And, I was catching, one of the guys had told me on the way in, he said we were catching them on blue mm-hmm. worms. So I was throwing those blue exo ribbons that we have. So I caught 4 more. And it's funny because there was kids everywhere out there fishing. And last year they were all catching the crap out of bluegills with the worms. And then me and my son were catching them on those same thing, those exos.
Yeah.
On blue. And this year, none of them caught a single. I don't think there might have been a couple kids caught bluegills. But I was talking to another guy. I'm kind of jumping ahead.
And you're talking about they were just using like red worms.
Red worms. They were red worms, yeah. I was talking to another guy, though, the next day. And his theory, he said, how big are those bass you were catching? I said, man, they're not very big. You know, I kind of give them a range. He said, I think there's too many. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, literally from last year, same time of year with red worms, everybody was catching bluegill. This year, almost no bluegill. And these are good spots for bluegill. You know, we had a lot of blowdown, a lot of brush, or a lot of grass. Like, these are it's perfect bluegill 101 where you should be catching them. And they weren't getting anything. And I do think, like, after thinking about the size of all these bass, you don't find a lot of big bass in there. I think these little bass are just eating up everything.
Yeah.
And there's not much left. They need to, they're probably not managing that pond, really.
How big is it?
It's more of a lake. It's a small lake. It'd be a monster pond. I don't know how many acres it is, but I mean, you could walk. We probably walked a mile around, and then it's not even halfway around it.
Yeah.
So, it's sizable, I would say.
How were you rigging up your worm?
Just using a jig hook and fish.
Any weight?
With a bullet weight on the front. Yeah. I had to do that to get through the – like, there was so much brush that I was coming through. So, a weedless rig. But I still was getting – like, we were still snagging even with that rig because you're hitting sticks. The sticks were the problem because the worm gets pushed down and you're stuck.
But you want to be in that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, because that's where I was hitting them. And that's where – right out of the gate, I caught one off a blowdown log. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm coming over to your spot. And he kept hitting the spots and he was getting the bites. But these little bass, you know, to get – It's almost harder to catch the little ones because you got to give them a little bit of time to get that all the way down, and then you have to set the hook well. I feel like because the bigger ones, I feel like they'll run off and almost set it for you. Whereas this, like, they weigh almost nothing. It's hard to tell if they're there. It's hard to tell the difference between drag and bottom and fish too.
Yeah,
because I was hitting a lot of the rocks, and it took me a minute to kind of figure out what the bottom was like. So at first I was like, oh, is that a bite? No, I'm dragging. And once I kind of figured out. What they were doing, because they weren't hitting hard at all. Sometimes you would be, you'd swear you were snagged, and then you'd see it moving around. But he could not, this time, last year he caught like 7 or 8, but he could not figure out the small ones and how to hook set them. And I felt so bad, man. Like,
yeah, because it'll be a 2-bite.
That's what like they were doing. I had to cool it to let them take it a lot, you know, naturally bass fishing, you want to just rip immediately. And I had to like really chill out to be able to start popping them, and I could not get him there. And two, he fishes not as much as your kids, but more than most kids, right? And I don't know what it was, but this time he had gotten good at hook setting, but then he started wanting to crank. I'm like, dude, stop trying to reel him in to hook set. You gotta, I'm trying to show him, never could get in there. Yeah. So that night, the first night he went back, I caught 4, and then I went back out. We went back out early. Then I woke up early to get my coffee in, and I'm like, we'll clean up camp when we get back if it still needs it. But everybody else, like, I've ran the whole thing. We're going fishing. Me and you are going fishing. He was pumped about it. So we went out, man. He was hitting it hard. He didn't get distracted. He was, like, really excited to fish. We found a beaver dam, and there was a beaver out swimming. So that's the first time he's seen a beaver in the wild.
Yeah.
And we were standing on the beaver dam for a little bit fishing. Yeah. It's not a dam, really, but it's, like, where they're living. Because you could see the 2 entry points where they were swimming in. There's shells all over the top of it. There's trees everywhere down where they've cut them down. He was like, what do they do? And then he gets over here and you can see the branches where they've pulled it all up. And it's really, they're incredible architects,
yep.
You know, of what they can do.
Yep.
So we're fishing there and I'm catching them all along the way, man. I mean, I caught 5 that morning, I think. And once again, he's getting the bites and he's getting frustrated a little bit, but he kept wanting to go. So we hiked a mile all the way around. And then we came back, and I'm like, man, we got to go because I got to pick up my daughters. You know, they overnighted with my sister-in-law. And so we had seen a bald eagle out. Like, we had a great morning.
That's cool.
But he wanted to fish. So I'm like, all right, we're going to go back and try these spots where I was hitting them this morning, and we're going to try one more time. And we're going to try, oh, let's do 2 more casts here. And we go a little bit further towards the camp. It's like, okay, 2 more here. And then all of a sudden I'm running 45 minutes behind schedule. You know how it is.
One more cast.
Oh, yeah. But I had stopped fishing at that point. Like, because I was like, I have to get him a fish. We're going to do this. We walked a mile. And I was just dead focused on him. I'm watching him directly. I'm coaching him through every little thing, but I could not get him one, man.
So what length of
those 10-inch XO ribbons that we sell.
So next time, cut that thing in half.
I actually started using why would you do that?
Because you get the end of the worm. Because what they're going to do is they're going to bite the tail of it, and they're going to pull it in. That's when they'll get the hook. So if he's setting the hook too early, you want to get that hook point closer to the tail of the worm.
That's good.
So if you shorten it, now you have a better chance that they're going to get it.
I ended up fishing. I don't know what this thing even was or where I got it. I literally don't know the product, but it was like a worm. It was almost like what you'd use for a wacky rig, but it had a tail on it of some kind. It almost looked like
a U-shaped tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are those?
It
was like a Cinco, but had that tail on it.
Yeah,
like an offshoot. Names. It almost looked like a crawdad, but it only had one on it.
So there, some people call it like a vibe worm, or I mean, every brand has a different name for it. But it's like a stick bait, but it has a U shaped tail. And there's like a V cut into it. Almost.
Yeah, it had a small one and a big one,
and that tail will flap hard.
Yeah, I knew what it was for. I just hadn't fished with them before, but I couldn't find any more of my blue, and we started. So I switched over to one of those, and I was catching them quicker on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was catching them on watermelon stuff too. But it was fun. I mean, I had fun catching. I just felt really bad that I couldn't get him anything.
It's funny you bring up the the stunted growth thing, because I was talking to Liz this weekend that we need to have another fish fry out at the farm, because same principle. I've been catching a lot in that like 12, 13 inch range. There's a ton of bass that size, half pound maybe. And the fishery biologist that had been out to the farm a couple years ago said 1 pound or 25 pounds per acre of water that you need to get cull the fish out for the population that we have. Tons of bluegill. Kids go out with redworms to catch fish all day. But then we also catch a lot of those 12 to 8 somewhere range bass. So we're going to have a fish fry at some point soon to get some of those bass out of there. The other thing, I talked to a guy this morning that he caught a spawned out fish already, and he was surprised. I haven't seen any spawned out fish. I haven't seen any fish on beds yet. So I still don't think we've hit spawn. I still think we're pre-spawn. I still think they're coming in, moving up.
These are super shallow, 10 feet and in.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean shallow. We're talking a foot of water.
Did you see any?
I couldn't see them. The water was really stained, and I could only see like – I could probably see 5 feet out from me, and then it got too dark, and it was just deep enough to where I couldn't see through it. But it was they were probably in 2 feet or less of water, 10 feet out.
So they might be close, and they might be making beds down there. And if you're talking about you watch them pick a worm up and move it, sometimes that's a good indication that you've drug it onto their bed and you're getting it out of there.
They were chasing them because there was one I caught by the beaver dam the night before after my son had left. And I was just reeling it out, and I was literally getting ready to pull it up. And I saw it. Well, there was a hole. And I was like, I wonder how deep that – I was just like playing in my mind. I'm like, how deep is that hole? And I dropped it down, and I couldn't see the bait anymore, but I saw this bass come in and hit it from behind like it was kind of protecting it. It was getting territorial.
Yeah.
And I just go, whoop, picked it straight up. I didn't reel or anything. It was that close, and I just picked it straight up. And that was one of the bigger ones I caught. None of them were huge or anything. I'll post those. I posted the crappie I caught. I haven't posted any of the bass yet.
Did any of them have damage on their fins, tail fins or anything?
One of them on the dorsal had a very strange – the first one I caught had a very strange like it had healed, but it almost looked like it had grown with a rubber band around it. I don't know what's up.
That could have been a herring. Tried to get it. One of those birds. And it scarred over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Why were you asking about the – like if they had damage to them, what does that mean?
Because they'll fan out the gravel and the rocks and stuff to make their beds.
Oh,
so it'll tear. They'll have like sores to where it even looks bloody, where they'll get in there and they clear those.
I didn't see
pebbles
anything
out
like that
for the beds. Okay. But usually it's obvious. Like you'll know if they're.
Yeah, I didn't see anything like that. It's always fun, man. Like I'm very open that I'm not a very knowledgeable angler. Like I'm just not. I haven't. I like doing it. I really enjoy it. But it's you know. I always get a little more frustrated with fishing because it's not like deer hunting where I'm like, I know it well enough to probably be able to rationalize like this. I just feel like I really suck.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's so much you can't see. Like
there's
deer
so much you can't see.
Visual. You see what's going on bass fishing.
But I was getting really defeated. I mean, the last few times I've been out, I've just been like, I am so bad at fishing because I have not been able to get anything. The only thing that gave me a little bit of hope is Dan's good at fishing. He's like, nah, man, I'm struggling too. I haven't really been able to figure him out.
Well, that's why I asked about the spawning thing, because if we haven't had our, like, full-on spawn yet, like, we're still getting into the prime time the next few weeks.
I'm going to North Carolina, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. So, and we're just fishing, kayak fishing.
Bass fishing in that lake. Do you know what's in that lake? Smallmouth? Because it's a mountainy kind of lake, right?
No, it's a man-made that's probably... stocked was initially stocked 6 or 7 years ago, so I would imagine it's just going to be bass and bluegill. I would be surprised if there was smallmouth in it.
Sweet.
One of the guys said they caught a smallmouth in the lake we were on, and I'm 90% sure he just didn't know
that. I mean, they will be in small lakes. Typically you're going to need some depth and some moving water.
I should say there's no moving water into it.
Yeah.
Not, I mean,
A lot of people will catch a small largemouth and call it a smallmouth.
Yeah. And there, well, even that crappie, I didn't know crappies get that black, that very defined black spot on the side. I've not really caught a lot of crappie.
So that was a white crappie. And you should look up a picture of a black crappie to kind of
compare
them.
I've seen them both. Because that's what I thought it was at first, but it had that very defined spot like a bass.
Yeah.
Do crappies have that? Or was that just like a...
They'll get marked up, just like bass. Some bass will be darker
some bass. You know, that circle it had on it that looked like, that's why I thought it was, I was like, is this some kind of bass hybrid or something?
Crappie.
Yeah. Well, because I didn't realize, I thought it was a crappie at first, looked it up, and I'm like, oh no, it has that bass, like that, it was confusing.
The spotted pattern.
Yeah. I think it was a decent sized crappie though.
The fins are more the giveaway.
Well, that's what I saw. That big pelvic fin.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a bass fin.
Yeah.
But then when I started looking it up, I'm like, well, it doesn't look like a crappie either.
And this time of year, if you catch a crappie, you should fish your butt off in that spot.
Yeah.
Because they school up. They'll hang out around down trees and stuff, and there'll be a bunch of them in one spot.
Pretty much anywhere I was getting a hit, I would go a few more times there. I pretty much, once I figured out blue and watermelon, I was going hard wherever it was. But I also, I'm like, okay, if I've gotten two fish out of this spot and I spend five more minutes here and don't get anything else, I'm going to move to the next spot, because there's so much blowdown along that side. And every little spot was churning up fish. So I moved around quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably hiked three or four miles this weekend fishing. I fell hard, dude. I'm almost gimpy this morning. Me and my son were coming back out, and it's really thorny down there this year. It wasn't like that this year, last year, but they need to clear out some of these thorns, brars, as I would have said in my childhood. I tripped over some, and I hit this knotty stump that had been cut.
Ooh.
And hit my shin on it, and then I got up, and then I fell again and twisted my ankle into another one.
Ugh.
And it was one of those things where, like, we were trying to go, because we're on a schedule, and I'm like, I'm trying to get him a fish, so I kind of – the adrenaline of all, it wasn't a ton of adrenaline, but it was enough to where I'm not even paying attention. I didn't realize I was hurt.
Yeah.
And then came home, I'm doing all my gear, I'm getting everything dried out, trying to repack stuff, had to mow the yard. And once I finally stopped moving last night and I got out of the shower to go to a cookout, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And I've got scuffs all up my leg. I'm like, how did I not notice that I hurt myself this bad?
You're just bleeding inside your pants and no idea.
Yeah, I was taking ibuprofen. My ankle was swollen up. I had to take ibuprofen to get the swelling down last night. I mean, I'm like one of them. It made me think of my grandfather when he was I was a kid. He'd like cut himself and be bleeding, his tough old man. And I'd be like, Papa, your arm's bleeding. And he's like, yeah, it happens. And like, he didn't even know. But I'm like, I feel like an old man who
didn't
realize.
I'm the same way. When I'm fishing, man, self-preservation just goes out the door. I don't eat. I don't drink. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention around me.
I was. When they're biting, too, it's like so easy to get in that tunnel vision.
Yep.
When they're not, it's like, be a good time for a granola bar. All right. Thanks for checking out the podcast, guys. Remember to check out gunbroker.com. for all your firearm needs. Go Wild's got, actually, I'll say this, Go Wild, if you hung around this far, here's your thank you for sticking around for this podcast episode. Go Wild has some good deals on GunBroker to move some open box stuff that we've got. So if you want to find some deals on a few things, we've listed a few things on there of just return stuff, stuff that's not in new condition. So if you want to check us out on there, we've got a few things on gunbroker.com too.
We've also got our fishing sale on Go Wild.
Yes.
That stuff is not on GunBroker, and it is some crazy good deals. And I'm
not open box.
I'm actually about to take advantage of it, because I all those exos.
I'm hitting it up before
going to North Carolina. Six or seven this weekend because there was so much fishing that blowdown. Yeah.
You have to go to the fishing sale category on Go Wild, because we have two different listings for stuff that we haven't marked down and stuff that we have, and it might be the same product, but we're trying to get rid of some stuff that we have in our office.
If you go to your app and hit shop and scroll down, there's it's alphabetical order, but there's a fishing sale, and you can see the icon. It's blue with just fish on it. Or if you go to shopgowild.com, you'll be able to see it there. But I mean, seriously, the deals are smoking good. So
yeah,
I've already
gotten some stuff.
Yeah,
some other people have been loading up.
Even old Braden loaded up. R.I.P.
Braden did too. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks again for checking us out. Derica. It's a new one. It's kind of like Zachy. Jacob, Erica, Dan, and Brad on here. Log the show and let us know what you think of Dan's story.
Hope you had a good eclipse, everybody.
Oh, my God. You get it.
Bye.